Those of you that have your Bibles, let's turn to, I believe it's 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Megan, are you going to help me read here today?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. Those of you that are in your early 40s know exactly what I'm doing right now. And those of you that are not, just wait. Let's see here. Yeah, this is where I want to be. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. We're going to look at Paul's teachings here, what he's speaking to Timothy.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
That's good enough. Now, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit, this is something we want to pay close attention to. The Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How many of you have had any experience with a seducing spirit or seducing spirits, like it's labeled out right here? Those of you that are not shaking your head, you're just not aware of it, but you have. I'm just going to tell you right now. And the other part about which I'm really going to focus and concentrate on today is doctrines of devils. How many of you have realized that there's been times that you have been introduced to, received, and walked in the doctrine of a devil? Again, those of you that are not saying yes, you're just not aware of it, I promise you you've done it before. But notice here that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What causes you to depart from the faith? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, Megan, don't read it right now, but somewhere during this teaching, I'm going to have you read 2 John, the 1st chapter. We're going to read the 9th and 10th verse. I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit here, and we'll get you to read it. It talks about those that have the doctrine of Christ. If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God, it says. So it's very, very important to have the doctrine of Christ. He that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son, the Scripture says. And we need the Father and the Son, do we not? We need the doctrine of Christ. But real quick, in the beginning here, I'm going to put it out there. What is the doctrine of Christ? We're going to expound on it some, but I'm just going to tell you right now, the doctrine of Christ is faith. And we know that in Mark 4 and 2, Jesus spoke many things unto them in parables and said unto them in his doctrine. So a big part of his doctrine, a big part about bringing faith, is the parables, the mysteries of God. Okay, I'm going to say that for now. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So those that depart from the faith and give heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of devils end up with their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what does that mean? How many of you have ever looked at the Bible and looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests and the elders and how they handled Jesus? They did not receive Jesus, did they? And they did not receive his doctrine. Do you know why? Because they believed, their consciences were seared with a hot iron. They believed what they were saying was absolutely true. In other words, they weren't playing games. They were believing a doctrine with 100% of their heart. They weren't wondering. They believed what they believed because their conscience were sealed in the doctrines and the thoughts that they were in. Does that make sense to you? Okay. But when that happens to you, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, this next part I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to be very careful about how I say it. But the first time this was introduced to me, the individual that said this to me said that what we're getting ready to read was talking about the Catholic Church. Okay? And I listen to what people say. I listen to everything everybody says. But I knew, well, Even though it sounds good, there's more to this, Keith, than what you just said to me. And verse 3 says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that which believe and know the truth. So, in a natural sense, a physical sense, who commands their priests and their nuns not to marry? You don't have to say it out loud. Who commands you to abstain from meat? So, in a natural sense, this individual put it towards the Catholic Church. And, you know, interesting enough, there is a controversy on when the Catholic Church actually began. Do you know that? If you're a devout Catholic, you say that the first church began after Jesus' death. It was the Apostles' Doctrine, and it began right after Jesus' death and went through. But a more realistic thought, honestly, is that the Catholic Church actually wasn't established for 300 years, Keith. After the death of Jesus and in the early times, Christians were greatly persecuted. It wasn't until the conversion of Constantine the Great around 300 AD that Christianity was accepted again. So you take all that with a grain of salt. But I'm looking at a greater doctrine than just the Catholic Church here. What I'm saying is the Bible speaks of different doctrines, does it not? One we're going to concentrate on today is one that Jesus said to be aware of. Actually, two of them he said. He told his disciples, he went with them, and he made sure that they were aware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Right? I think we'll read that in Matthew, the 16th chapter. But he went walking with his disciples, warning them, teaching them, leading and guiding them. One of the things that he told them, Gary, was beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, in another place, Jesus was, he had fed the multitude with bread. I think some 5,000, some 7,000, and he took up the fragments with that. And he spoke to them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the disciples thought he was talking about bread. And he's like, how is it you don't understand? I'm not talking about bread here. I'm talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. So the leaven was the doctrine of the Pharisees. And what we'll read is, he says, which is hypocrisy. How many of you know what hypocrisy is? How many times do you read in the Bible that Jesus flat out told them and called them? I think Matthew 23, you hypocrites, you vipers, you whited sepulchers. Now, he wasn't out there being mean. He's discerning. He's laying discernment out and down about a doctrine that was not his doctrine. Now, why was it so important that Jesus warn his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy? What was the basis of the doctrine of the Pharisees? Where did they get their doctrine from? The Word of God, correct? So the Pharisees, along with the disciples, before Jesus brought his doctrine, what was the disciples' doctrine based on? The law, the Word of God. So at times it would sound a lot alike, would it not? But Jesus was bringing a new doctrine. Jesus was bringing some mysteries and some parables and bringing a great thing to the whole world called faith, which we know that Abraham walked in. And we know the patriarchs, that all of them that are in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, walked in. But Jesus was bringing his own doctrine, which after his death turned into the doctrine of the apostles. They carried on Jesus' doctrine to the whole world like he sent them to. But here's the thing. There was a time when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, know ye not that the Pharisees were offended at your sayings? Well, what were those sayings that he was teaching? You can go read it when you get a chance. It was the parables. It was the mysteries. It was the things that were not understood. It was the types and the shadows of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was teaching them these things. There it goes, Daniel. You know what's funny? You guys don't do editing, do you? It doesn't matter anyways. But Daniel was talking to us how at times, you know, that phone hits the ground, and sure enough, every single week in California, it happens now. It's almost like he jinxed us, but you'll be up there preaching, you hear that, bloop, bloop, bloop. And no offense, because some of the times it's me. But sure enough, it happens, doesn't it? Sure is nice to have these little devices with the Bible on them, isn't it? Now, he came to Jesus and said, "Know ye not that the Pharisees were offended at your sayings?" And so Jesus is bringing the doctrine. The Pharisees already have a doctrine. And what they're taught, a doctrine is a teaching. You understand that, right? What they were taught caused them to be offended at Jesus' doctrine. But I love what Jesus said, and I also want to point out the fact that the disciples weren't sure about the Pharisees. Why? Because they looked the look. They talked the talk, but they didn't walk the walk, did they? One of the things that Jesus said about the Pharisees is, "With your lips, you do honor me. You say all the right things. You know to say, you know, thank you, God, and glory, hallelujah. You know how to pay your tithes. You know how to come to church. You know how to pray, make long pretense for prayer. You know how to look with your dress. You know how to do all these things. But your heart's far from me. Your lips, you say the right things. But your heart's far from me." And Jesus instructed his disciples. You know what he said? He said, "Please go get them and help them and save them. They need us." No, he did not. It's not what he said at all. He said, "Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch." So why am I saying this right now? As you learn and understand what I'm teaching here today about the doctrine of the Pharisees, it's simple. When you discern it, don't go try to change it. Don't go try to save it. Matter of fact, Keith, discern it, be aware, like Jesus said, and leave it alone. Are we good on that? Right now, we're good. He said, "They're blind leaders of the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch." And he gave his disciples great discernment and great instruction in that area. Did he not, Pastor Dan? Now, you got Matthew 16? I want to read that about where he told them. I think it's verse 6, isn't it?
It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees."
Watch, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And again, you can look this up, but most of you already know it. In another place, he said, and I went through this already, the leaven was the doctrine of the Pharisees. Okay, go ahead.
"So of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread."
Oh, this is going to, she's going to read it here. Hold on one second before you go any farther. This is very important. Did the Pharisees and Sadducees agree in their doctrine? No. Maybe not everybody knows this, but I'm going to pull out a Bible scholar out of this, and we're going to, all except for you elders, and we're going to answer this. Megan's right. They did not agree in what they believe. But what was the basis for their doctrine?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. The law, correct? Megan, do you know the difference between the doctrine of the Pharisee and the Sadducee?
Well, the one thing I was thinking of is that the Pharisees believe in a resurrection.
Uh-huh.
And the Sadducees do not. They don't believe that there's
right?
a resurrection.
Yeah. The Pharisees believed in spirit and angels also, right, Rick? And the Sadducees do not. Now, this is kind of a silly thing, but it's the way that you can remember this. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection. They believe in spirit and they believe in the angels. The Sadducees do not. That's why they are Sadducee. Got it? That'll stay with you, too. It stayed with me from the very first time somebody told me it. What'd you tell her? There you go, Don.
No.
Oh. Well, we believe in the resurrection, right? But we do not want to walk in the doctrine of the Pharisee either. So let's talk some more about it and understand it. Please continue.
Okay. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand?"
Hold on real quick. Quick note. He said, beware and take heed unto their doctrine. And then he said, oh, ye of little faith. You see this? Do you know what the doctrine of the Pharisee does? I'll help you out real quick. Was Paul a Pharisee?
Yeah.
Was Paul on the road to Damascus? Was there a light that shined from heaven upon Paul? And do you remember what Jesus said to Saul at the time? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Huh? What did Saul say? Who art thou, Lord? It is I, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Jesus said, it is hard. Marvin, he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That doctrine of the Pharisee, Daniel, will persecute the word of God. It'll persecute Jesus Christ even when he brings a light from heaven to convert you. He brought that light. If we walk in the light, do we not have fellowship one with another? Our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. He let him know, your doctrine you've been in as a Pharisee has persecuted me. And in your mind, you may be going right now, yeah, but that doctrine of the Pharisee was 2,000 years ago. I'm going to help you out with something. The doctrine of the Pharisee was before that, and it's still working today. Really? I haven't seen any Pharisees. My pastor, bless his heart, Elsie Quinn, passed away a few months ago. And it was the first pastor I sat under. I had two pastors that I'd sat under die this year. You know, Pastor Quinn and Pastor Whedon. And I was talking to him one day, first year I'm in the church. And mind you, we're in a Jesus name Pentecostal church. Now, we didn't do a clothesline message. Hopefully, you guys know what that means. He didn't command you to dress a certain way or the women to cut their hair a certain way. But he lived it. So he was trying to get you to do it. They did by example. And he said to me one day, Tim, I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but he said, you know, Brian, you may not have to go very far away from the Pentecostal church to find a Pharisee. And I thought, I was a young man. Well, what's he talking about? So Gary, it intrigued me. What about this Pharisee? What is a Pharisee? And I started looking at what they did. You know what they did? They made broad the phylacteries of their garments. They stood on the corners and for pretense made long prayer. What else they did? Somebody help me out here. Oh, remember the parable Jesus said about the Pharisee that despised others and was righteous in his own eyes? The Pharisee gets up, and what does he say, Megan? I fast twice a week. He said, I pay tithes. I give alms. But he said, I thank God I'm not like, and there was a publican right there. The Bible calls him a sinner. There was a sinner right there. And Jesus was showing that parable because there were those that were righteous in their own eyes and despised others. I'll never forget, Gary, man, it was the first, it had to be the first month I was in church. I'm telling you, do not despise your beginnings and how God has worked with you from the beginning. Because I got to a place in my life that I'll just be very conservative. I was a very unhappy individual. And I went to a church, and this Pastor Quinn talked to me and shared some awesome things with me. But he was overwhelmed by what I told him. It was almost like a Catholic confessional. I was getting all this stuff. I just dumped everything on him, Daniel. And he said, at this point, I really don't know what to say to you, Brian. He said, but I'm going to pray for you. And he said, I have a song, and I'll never forget it. He sang Amazing Grace to me, and we both sat there with tears running down our faces. Something happened to me that day, Michelle. I wasn't caught up in a dream or a vision. I wasn't caught up in the Spirit, but I'm going to tell you something. God touched my heart, and God brought peace into my life, and I quit everything that I was doing. And when I say everything I was doing, it wasn't good. Let me just tell you right now. And I started reading the Bible, Gary. And I didn't stop reading the Bible. I think the first year I read it through and through three times. I mean, that was like all I did because I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the Word of God. But I thought everybody was like I was. So I'm at a gas station. I still didn't realize that I needed to cut my hair to fit in with the church people yet. And I got real long hair, you know, was bodybuilding at the time, this and that. I had this dumb gold chain on and stuff. Look really goofy looking back now. I'll show you a picture, Gary. But I see these girls that look like the people in my church. They got real long hair. They got real long skirts. And I'm excited. Man, God's awesome. I want to talk about everybody about God, Micah. And I go in the store where they're paying for gas. And I'm all smiles, you know, young man, mid-20s. And one of them turns around. I said, hey, We have the same father. Man, if looks could kill, they turned around and looked at me and gave me the stare of death. Did not say a word to me. Would not even acknowledge I was there. I was talking about, you serve God, I serve God, God's our father. I didn't look like they looked like Keith. And I, at that moment, I went, wait a minute, I need to take heed here. Something's going on. There's something I don't know about. And I thought about my pastor telling me, you don't have to go very far away to find a Pharisee. And I looked in the Bible and I see, wait, they dressed a certain way. They did all these different things. But you know what the bottom line God showed me about it was? I already said it earlier. He told them, with your lips you do honor me, but your heart's far from me. And I hope I don't offend anybody here, but I began to watch and look, and the people in the church would talk horrible about one another. They would spread rumors and gossip, and I thought, and I'm going to be kind here today because I'm a visitor, dang, what is that? I thought we all loved each other. I thought we all got along, you know? And I realized, hey, there's something I need to look into here. There's something, not all of us are seeing it as I see it. Not all of us love each other like we're supposed to love each other. And I realized that, there was something wrong. And I began to seek it out. And you know what I realized in that church? Nobody really believed the same. To be honest with you, nobody really believed the same. Now, this is the point where I tell you where God really helped me a ton with some discernment. Years ago, I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm on my way to the mountain of God. I'm headed up this mountain, and there's a rock area, a rock face to my left. And I look up, and this face begins to protrude out of the rock. How many of you ever watched that TV series called Dexter, where he puts on that white T-shirt and his face is, well, I've never watched it either, but somebody told me this is how it goes. The face comes out of the rock. The rock makes a face. And immediately, Martha, I see he's talking. His lips are moving, talking. Tim, it was nonstop. I'm watching this. Talking. And I could not hear what was being said, but the Lord spoke to me and said, he's speaking. This is the man of sin, and he's speaking great swelling words of vanity. And if I didn't show him to you, you would have, he said manifest. If I didn't manifest him, you would have never known he was there. You know where he was, Keith? In the mountain of God. And I didn't see this for a year later, but go read the book of Ezekiel, where the anointed cherub was that covereth, that was perfect in all his ways in the day he was created. Thou hast been in the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And, you know, I'm going to tell him myself, Papa Rick here. I call Rick and tell him the dream, and I'm telling the whole thing. And I get to the point where I couldn't hear Gary. And I tell Rick, he was saying all these things. The Lord showed me he was speaking great swelling words of envy, but I couldn't hear what he says. And without missing a beat, Rick says, don't worry about it. You don't want to hear what he's got to say anyways. And I went, that's right. But notice that discernment of it was out of the dream. What God gave me in the dream, I kept. That was a conversation with Rick. So almost 2 years go by, Tim, and I go back into this dream. This time in the dream, I'm going to the mountain of God again. And I go up, and sure enough, here comes that face out. It's talking. You ever wondered when people are walking down the street, let's say people that don't have a home to go home to at night, they don't have an occupation of those things, and they're talking to themselves. I know what they're talking to. You think they're just talking to themselves. I have seen what they're talking to. They're seducing spirits that are here. This can work to a place where it'll actually drive you stark raving mad. I mean, could you imagine listening to a voice nonstop, 24/7, 365? My goodness. That would get old, wouldn't it? You know how to make the voice stop? Discern it. Understand it. So, this time, the mouth is moving, and my ears are open. How many of you want to tell me what this man of sin was saying? You want to take a shot at it, Don? It was the Word of God. He was quoting scripture, Marvin. A little scripture here, a little scripture there, a whole chapter, a piece of scripture, this with that, that with this. Nonstop, Tim. And as I watched, spirits came out of his mouth. And there was a valley down beneath where this rock formation was. And as I looked down there, there were people. And I'm talking thousands, maybe a couple million people down there. And the spirit that come out of his mouth went to these people. And I'm just going to explain to you as I had it. The spirit could not access them until they heard what he said and tried to interpret what he said. The man of sin's access point to these people was they heard and tried to understand what he was saying about the Word of God. But when they did, he went into them, Gary. And in their minds, I perceived their thoughts. They believed that it was God. But guess what? It didn't produce love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, temperance, long-suffering, faith. It did not produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know what it produced in them? Great hatred. Great division. And here's the other thing that was amazing about it. Even with millions of people, not one of their interpretation was the same. So interesting. You know, in the day and age we live in right now, there's over 42,000 different Christian denominations alone. Do you know how many people in those denominations agree one with another? You could say, well, they go to the same church. They all agree. Talk to them for a while. Get to a certain point. I promise you, Daniel, you will find that you will find something that they do not agree in. This is why it's so important that this church, this fellowship, has such a tight-knit communication. That's why we don't put our money in big, huge buildings and try to bring thousands and thousands of people to show, like the Pharisees. You know the Pharisees, they did everything they did to be seen of men. It wasn't about God. Even though they stole God's word, took it from him, made doctrines out of it, they did not do what they did for God. It was their lust. It was their want to be seen of men, to be great. So what do we do here at Living Fellowship? We do that right there. We promote living fellowship. We promote you guys to come and be in together. And here's what we promote. Rick said it 100 times. I want us to be so tight, especially the eldership, our deacons, and all of you. It's to all of us. I want to be so tight that you cannot drop a grain of rice in between us. Do you understand why now? I do. And I came out of that dream understanding a lot of things. Understanding how so many doctrines have even been created in this physical realm right now. And let's look at the other side of this real quick. Megan, do you have that 2 John 1 and 9? Did you read that for me? Because even though you have a lot of false doctrines, you had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had all that, there is a true word of God. There is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you plainly, if you don't have it, and I'm not being mean, I'm telling you what the scripture says in my experience, you don't have God. Gary, you will think you have God. You will think your interpretation is correct. Man, those people, when they received that spirit, at first, the very first thing was they were joyous. They received God. They received the word. But, they began to fight and hate one another. They didn't agree. There was no unity whatsoever. And I said, there you go. There's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans right there. Right there.
Everything you said, Brian, is exactly how a person or a spiritual being creates his own little God in his own religion.
And that's what I saw, Gary. That's how you said a spirit or a spiritual individual creates. Doesn't the Bible talk about a world of iniquity? Gary just explained to you how it gets created. When iniquity abounds, it reproduces after itself. Every seed reproduces after itself. So how important is it to know the doctrine of Christ? How important is it to be in unity one with another? And at my church, I promote and tell them, listen, because they're saying, preach the gospel in your world. I agree. But what are you preaching?
Which gospel?
Which gospel? Yeah. Is it the gospel of the Pharisees, the Sadducees? Though is the gospel, or I'm saying the doctrine, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, Nicolaitans? Who else? Anybody, you Bible scholars out there, know any other doctrines in the scripture?
Balaam.
The doctrine of Balaam. There's a bunch out there, isn't there? You know what the basis of every single one of them is? The Word of God. Is that not correct, Pastor? The Word of God. So here's the thing. If you're not skilled, I'll just say it this way. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, there's no shame in getting help. Go ahead, Gary. You can be deceived very easy. Remember the beginning of what we read? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits. That's what I dreamed. They departed from the faith, didn't they? Did you already read what the doctrine or the doctrine of the Pharisees was? He said, which is hypocrisy?
We didn't read that, no. But
just tell them if I'm telling the truth or not.
Yes.
Most of you know it. Which is hypocrisy. What does a hypocrite do? Says one thing and does another, don't they? Well, I begin to notice that even in the physical realm. They say a lot of things, they're not doing them. I was reading the book and I'm going, hey, what's happening in the book's not happening here. You know, Paul also writes in another place about those that, he said, in the last times, perilous times shall come. Did he not? In those times there shall be mockers, scoffers, right? But you know how he describes them? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now let me ask you a question. In the doctrine that you're hearing, is there power in that doctrine? They were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. Why? Because he taught them as one that had authority. Do not mistake confidence for arrogance. Okay? Because they did with Jesus. And they judged him wrong because of the doctrine that they were in. They were astonished because his doctrine had power. When Jesus came, Gary, he didn't just say one thing and do another. Jesus cast out devils. He raised the dead. He opened the blind ears. He opened the deaf ears. He caused the lame to walk. He was a man that could have power over the sea and walk on the waters. He was a man that could take a couple fish and a loaf of, or a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, and feed 7,000 and 5,000. I want to tell you right now, this gospel that we're preaching to you and the one that Jesus promoted, the gospel of Jesus Christ that Megan is getting ready to read about, come with power. When Jesus came out of the wilderness after being tempted of the devil, he was ministered to by angels. He came out in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The apostles went forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I'm not having these dreams where I'm raising the dead. I'm not having dreams, all these things. Hold on, you're being taught the doctrine. Jesus had to show them as he was teaching them, he was exposing all these other doctrines. Hold on. Stay with the Lord. You know what made the disciples who they were? You know what made those disciples apostles? Jesus came to them and gave them two words. Come on now. Two words to be obedient to. The two words. Follow me. And that's what they did. And they weren't always right. I mean, they find a guy that's casting out devils, but he's not following them. They go to the Lord and say, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven on them? What does he have to say to them? Same thing as elders we have to show you sometimes. You know not what spirit you're of. But did they keep following? Are you going to keep following? Are you going to learn the doctrine of Jesus Christ and walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let's read this and I'll be done.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So, could you get a good word of God, but get off on your own and not abide? Could happen. That's why you want to stay close. That's why you want to fellowship. That's why you want to get meetings with these elders and these deacons. You want to stay close. You don't want to get off by yourself. I say we're finished, but I really need to bring one more thing out. Go ahead.
He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you.
Okay, stop right there. You read 9 and 10, and you're getting ready? Okay, just read 9 one more time.
Okay, sure. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God.
Hath not God. Now, Mark 4 and 2 says, Jesus taught them many things in parables and said unto them his doctrine. Correct? And hopefully you understand that the doctrine of Jesus was a doctrine of faith. He brought faith to them. So the Pharisees, they had the word of God, right? But when they were face to face with Jesus, what were they lacking, or what would they deny and not abide in? His doctrine. Therefore, they have the word of God, but they don't have God because they won't abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, there was a time, it's in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. We all know that, correct? The disciples had a question for Jesus. Why speakest thou unto the multitude in parables? What did he say? Because unto you it's given, unto them it's not. I'm paraphrasing, you can look it up. I feel like I'm running out of time, I start talking faster. Debbie Sitter will tell you that. She got me for it before. Said, I'm tired of having to rewind all the time. This was back when we had tapes and CDs. Slow down. Why do you speak to them to that? Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of God. Correct? Now, in that portion of Scripture, the Bible says that Jesus sent the multitude away. Listen closely, and we're going to be done here soon. It says, Gary, that he took the disciples into the house. In the house, he expounded all things to them. What's the house? What house did he take them into? Because the synagogue was full of thieves, Keith. He went in, and it says, listen, very distinctly, Jesus went into their synagogue. Their synagogue was the one full of money changers and thieves and those things. It was their synagogue. It was that one that he scourged them, that he drove them out and said, make not my Father's house a den of thieves. Correct? But again, what's the house? Anybody? Megan? House of God? Say again, Paula? You remember Matthew 12? This is where I'm going to go to today with it. Around verse 43, 44. When an unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he seeketh rest and findeth none. He saith, I will go back to my house from whence I came out. So is the house a man? So when Jesus took him into the house, what house did he take him into? Is he the man? Is he the house? Is it his body? Another place, instead of saying take him to the house, it said when they were alone. You know what, Gary? In Jesus' house, he's alone with his disciples. What I'm saying is there's no doctrine of the Pharisees. There's no doctrine of the Sadducees. There's no doctrine of the Nicolaitans there. This is where he brings you. He brings you into his body. He brings you into his house. And you know what he does there? I know you know. He expounds all things, doesn't he, Pastor? He brings you into his body. He brings you to his house where you are alone with him. No false doctrine. No seducing spirits right here. You and Jesus learning his doctrine. So if you're looking to learn his doctrine without, come on, let's go to the house. Let's get in the house with Jesus. And he'll expound all things to us. Now finish 1 John, or 2 John 1, 9 and 10.
It says, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house.
If one comes to you and he hath not this doctrine, don't receive him into your body either. Don't receive him into your house. Why?
It says, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed, is partaker of his evil deeds.
Did you hear that? If you let him in your house, you let these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils into your house, you'll be a partaker of their evil deeds. Now, have we not already done that? So what's the Lord doing? He's cleaning the house. He's cleaning up. He's teaching us his doctrine. As he reveals false things to us, he replaces them with true. As he reveals a lie, he replaces it with the truth. Why? Because he's teaching you his doctrine. He's expounding all things to you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? How many of you want to go to the house with me? We just went. We've been there for an hour. Any questions before I go? Paula. Godspeed? One of you Bible scholars, tell them. If you give them any Godspeed. Nobody in here knows? Well, then look it up. What's Godspeed? If you give them any place. You agree with it? You allow it? Is that okay, Paulo? Anybody else? We're good? Man, you guys are beautiful people. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and be in your church and to address you here today. I appreciate your hospitality so much, your kindness. We in California love you very much. You're our family. This is my second home. Thank you so much. God bless you.